I was up till 2 o'clock in the morning last night talking to a very good friend of mine about his marriage. And as I was listening to him talk about the problems he's having with his wife and the difficulties he's struggling with, I couldn't help but think about the fundamental changes that have occurred in the underlying relationships between men and women over the last, say, 50 or 60 years, and how that is the underlying problem that he is experiencing, and there's little or nothing that he can do about it. Today, I want to talk to you about that underlying current of societal change that is disrupting relationships between men and women, and see if there's some way to shed some light on this and maybe find a path forward for men. This is Life 2.0. Let's talk about it. Since the beginning of time, men and women have had an unspoken contract. There were different roles that they needed to play in order to ensure the survival of themselves and their species. It was clear that women had to be protected, and so they became the protected class. In exchange for that protection, they would provide nurturing, they would provide sustenance for families, they would contribute in the ways that they could to ensure the survival of the family unit. Their priority was to protect children, raise and protect children. In exchange, they also, because they were getting protected and provided for by men, they would lose a certain amount of autonomy because they needed to be protected. And so men needed to limit their exposure to the realities of the world. So there was a certain amount of autonomy that women lost in that exchange. Men, their role was to provide and protect. They gave up their autonomy in another way, because they had to be prepared to give up their lives to provide and protect for the family and even the larger community as a whole. So they lost the ability to make decisions about their own survival on a certain level. They needed to be ready and willing to give their lives to the larger good. This little contract that we've had going back to the beginning of time has worked pretty well. It has allowed the human species to grow from, at some points, being as few as 100,000 members to being over the 8 billion plus we have today. But all of a sudden, we find ourselves in a place where our populations are beginning to shrink. That somehow our species, potentially, we can see an end to it. So what we're left with today, for men and women, but mostly for men, is a lot of confusion. It's very difficult to know where you fit in to the function of society and families now, where women have all the rights and the freedoms that men have, but do not have the same responsibilities or expectations being placed on them. And men, of course, have the same role that they played all this time, except now the need for this role has been reduced significantly because women can provide and protect themselves to a certain degree. Well, men kind of get lost in it. And what's interesting is that men of this generation and recent generations have the same underlying needs that men have had since the beginning of time. There are primal factors at play here that are not choices that men or women make. And these primal factors are just completely overlooked in our modern society. We act like we can legislate these primal factors away, that we do not need to pay attention to the genetic reality of who we are and what we are. Men have the primal need slash desire to procreate. This is built into us. Women think that men are perverted because they're so interested in sex. That's not the case at all. If men could choose not to carry this burden of having this desire for sex all the time, they would. Because it is not a comfortable thing. for most men, most of the time, this need slash desire, whatever you want to call it, to procreate, to have sex, is annoying. It really is. I mean, certainly when it's released and when it's, you know, satisfied, it's a lot of fun. And it seems like when we're pursuing and satisfying those underlying primal desires that we're, you know, it's a celebration. It becomes, you know, a lot of joy that goes into it. But the reality is, it's like the joy a drug addict gets from getting a hit, you know, of his favorite drug. It's not a true sense of joy. It's more like a sense of release, of relief, of releasing the pain. That's really what it is. Women had this primal desire to have children. This is built into them. They need, they want, they have this underlying function, this primal, that makes them want to raise families and have children. Women connect with children at a level that men don't. You know, I think that parenting, we can certainly argue, but I think that men are certainly very good parents. But with young children, infants and little babies and young children, just having observed it throughout my life, I can tell you that women do have a special connection with children, and it is a magical thing. It's primal. It's built into the system. It's factory installed. You would think that with this primal desire on the one hand to procreate, and this primal desire on the other hand to have babies, that having our relationships work out would be relatively simple. And it's not. Because men and women are playing in the same masculine playground, if you will, on the same game board, you would think that we would have the same vocabulary, that we would be using the same language, but we don't. Men use certain words that have certain meanings to them, and these meanings are built into our culture as men. Women use these words, but they mean something completely different. And when we're trying to communicate with women about the meaning of these words, they don't have the same impact. They don't understand at a visceral level what these words mean. Commitment is one of those words. So when a man makes a commitment to an endeavor, a family, a woman, a job, whatever that may be, that word has a certain heaviness to it. It has a certain weight that we place upon it. And men who make commitments are bound to those commitments until they are satisfied or they are released from that commitment. Unless there's some extraordinary circumstances, you know? So women, on the other hand, see commitment as a temporary measure. It's something that they're doing in the moment in order to accomplish a specific goal. Anybody's saying, well, John, what goal are we talking about here? And again, I think you gotta go back to, you know, primal stuff. When I say primal, I mean primary. This comes first. Women, since the beginning of time, have always been the protected class. And so protecting themselves has been the way of it. That's the way things have been done. Men protected women and women protected women. So a woman can use the need to protect herself as a primal, primary reason for taking almost any other action. Do you see what I mean? So when she makes a commitment, she can do it in the service of her protection. And in modern times, that protection could be just ensuring that she is under a roof, or that she has resources, she has a man taking care of her, whatever it may be. There's almost any number of reasons that a woman can use to take a word like commitment or loyalty or love even, and use it in a sentence with a man in order for her to achieve her ends. I mean, this is truly the definition of the ends justify the means. Women can basically say whatever they want and make whatever commitment they want and claim whatever loyalty they need to in order to achieve the end goal, which is her survival, her ability to thrive even, her protection. And this is where things break down when we have men and women playing in the masculine world on the masculine playing field. Because when a man uses the word commitment or loyalty, it means something completely different. It's a heavy issue. And women do not carry that heaviness at all. Because women have always been the protected class, they can lean on their fragility, their vulnerability, as a way to move men to accomplish certain things, to get things done, to achieve their ends. This leads to a lot of manipulation. Women will say, "How could you do this to me now, when I'm at my weakest point? You know, when I'm so fragile, when I'm so vulnerable, how could you? How could you?" And this is a manipulation. This is a statement of manipulation. It doesn't take into account all the events that led up to this moment and how they put themselves in this position where this man is perhaps turning his back on her at a moment, maybe when there's a lot of stress, maybe when there's a lot of difficulty. But she's going to use this poor me, damsel in distress, as a ace card that she's holding under the table the whole time in this game. And she's gonna play it when she feels like she needs to in order to achieve the goals that she has. And it's just a pure manipulation. Now, if we were back in the olden days and we were all in our gender roles, this kind of behavior under those circumstances would be justified and rational, and men would probably respond to it, despite her bad behavior that led her to the situation she's in. But in 2026, when we have equal rights and women have taken on masculine roles in society and they want to be seen as equals, then they can no longer depend on men to be the sacrificial class. And they can no longer claim that they are members or they are the exclusive bearers of that protected class. We have lost that. So when men and women decided that they were going to throw their gender roles away, when we're not longer going to play by that game anymore, then the rules that we have been playing for the last, 100,000 years, well, they go out the window too. There is no more protected class. There is no more sacrificial class. And this is the pushback that's happening right now as a result of the cultural changes we've seen in the last 60 years or so. The giant lie that feminism told society was that in their promise, they would create a society where there were shared responsibilities, that there was shared benefits, that there were shared opportunities, and that the burden of partnership would be shared equally between men and women, that this would be something that we all benefited from. What actually happened was that women got all the benefits of being masculine or the masculine world and did not have to take on any of the responsibilities that were associated with it, or very few of those responsibilities. Now, as men and women are finding it harder to get along and are pushing each other away from one another, women are learning the hard way that feminism lied to them, that there is a price to pay. And a lot of them are not willing to pay that price. And that's where we run into a problem, because then we have this class of women who want all of the benefits of being a woman in terms of being protected, but with none of the responsibilities of having to do their own protecting and providing for. And men at this stage in the game are no longer willing to sacrifice themselves for this protected, privileged class of humans. With access to the ability to manage our physical urges through online resources, we'll call it, and AI girlfriends or whatever, even though it's not an ideal set of circumstances, it's better than the alternative of having to take on the emotional burden of dealing with this adult child who wants all the benefits of being a grown-up, but without any of the responsibilities. And I know this is a generalization, and I'm not trying to say that all women are like that, but there's a lot of them like that. There's a lot of them like that. And my friend that I was up to last night until 2 o'clock in the morning, he's got one like that. He's got a woman who wants all the benefits. I mean, she's an adult child. She wants all the benefits, and she wants none, and I mean none, of the responsibilities that go along with it. So many men, when I'm talking to them about their failed relationships, they start off by telling me about her childlike qualities and how endearing they are, how she has this innocence about her. And my friend, he refers to his wife in the same way, how there's just this purity, there's this wonderful sweetness to her. And I know her, and she's got all that. She's just purely sweet and innocent. He said that she becomes emotional when she sees roadkill. I mean, she's really a really sweet girl. She truly is. She's a sweet person. But she is truly a child. Now, when he married her, he knew what he was getting into to a certain degree. He understood that she was like that, that she was innocent and very, I don't know, not wise to the world in some ways. But that innocence, unfortunately, brings along with it other childlike behaviors. And throwing tantrums is one of those childlike behaviors. Being driven by her emotions without thought is another one of those behaviors. Not being aware of the sacrifices that are being made on her behalf and acting as if she's entitled to a lifestyle that she doesn't even know how it happens. She hasn't even had the slightest inkling that how that rent gets paid and how those trips get paid for and how everything happens. It's just like magic to her. The money just comes through him, you know? And there's very little gratitude or very little, what's the right word? Giving him the credit, I guess, for achieving so much in his life and working so hard to achieve it. And he wants to give it and he wants to be generous. But at the same time, he wants to see that he's actually in partnership with someone. And partnership, you know, in the man lingo, means that we're working together toward a common goal. And that does not seem to be the case. And that's oftentimes the case in the relationships that I see, where men are in this kind of role and they're trying to provide for their wives. And they believe that they're on the same page, that they're moving in the same direction, that they have some degree of partnership. When in reality, it's more like what I talked about earlier, where women, seeing themselves as being protected and needing to be protected, can use that primal need to protect themselves as an excuse or to rationalize any kind of behavior, any kind of manipulation, any kind of thing that they can do or say to get the ends that they desire. And I believe that is what we are seeing a lot of the time today. Debu! Whether women like to admit it or not, they know that they have options. They know that they can choose a more traditional lifestyle if they wish. They can allow themselves to be financially dependent on a man. And it's completely socially acceptable, completely within the realm. And all the while, they can still have a plan B. They can have their career as the backup plan. Women who play this game of being either this or that are the ones who are inadvertently causing a lot of the problem. Because with this option that's open to them, they do not have to commit fully to a relationship. They do not have to be all in, because they realize that if they choose to, they can leave at any time. And because hypergamy is a big part of the primal programming, the factory installed programming in women's minds, they're always looking for a better opportunity, because they can justify it through that primal, you know, protected class energy that we have, you know? So putting themselves in a better position at any time is completely justifiable at that level. So if they make a commitment to a man, and for some reason that man doesn't satisfy them, for some reason doesn't live up to the expectations that she had going in, she has in her mind not just every right, but she has the very responsibility to herself to find a better man. Now, if we were all living in caves or in villages, you know, 10,000 years ago or whatever, then yeah, maybe that's true. You know, like if you're a cave lady, you're hanging out with your caveman and he's not bringing home food, well, you might be cozying up by the campfire with some other caveman. You know, that's hypergamy, basically. Well, the same thing happens today, just no caves and the campfire is, you know, something else. It's Netflix and chill. It's completely different, but it's exactly the same. Men, yeah, nothing's really changed for us. You can go back 10,000 years, and I think a lot of the stories about men are exactly the same as they were 10,000 years ago, because we're playing the same game. It's the same sacrificial plight that we're on. We have been conforming to what society needs us to do and what women need us to do and what they need us to be in their lives, because that's the way it's always been. And we have not had the equivalent of a feminist movement on the male side of the equation. And I think that is where we are missing it. We need to have some kind of a masculine movement that kind of redefines the role of maleness in our society to a certain degree, because what we have been subject to for the last 50 or 60 years as these rules have changed is we have turned into not just the sacrificial beings of society, the sacrificial class of society, but we have been literally thrown into the wood chipper like so much, you know, cannon fodder. I mean, we're not even being used wisely. We are the disposable class. We are no longer valued by society. And that's where the problem is. And so I think it's time that men need to start establishing their own value. And that's really a lot of what I talk about in this channel, is how do we find the value in our own lives for ourselves without the need for external validation, without the need for external support or connection. Now, I think you still need connection, you still need friends, you can fool around with girls, whatever you want to do, but without having to have that commitment that holds us to that sacrificial role that we have been so enslaved by for the last 100,000 years. The relationship of boys with their mothers is a very complicated one. Girls with their mothers, I guess it's complicated too, but it's a lot simpler, especially when they're young. Girls don't understand this, but boys don't get the same kind of nurturing that girls do, generally speaking. They have never had, and they never probably will. There's always been a different set of standards for the way you treat a little boy versus the way you treat a little girl. And that has resulted in a lot of little boys feeling a lot of it's like there's something missing in their lives, like they need that nurturing. And so when they become adolescent and they combine that need for nurturing with that strong need to procreate, they find themselves enslaved by their biology and their desire to feel nurtured, to feel loved, to be accepted by society through a connection with a woman. That is their pathway. And that's why so many men find themselves in situations where they are giving up their autonomy and even to some degree their authenticity in order to have this relationship that they think is going to liberate them in some way, that it's going to help them become a more fully formed man, that they're going to achieve something important. And more often than not, all they have done is they have enslaved themselves to this role of being the sacrificial man. They have just now tied themselves into that. And not only does the woman that they're involved with see them as that sacrificial man, because she already has in her mind that her protection is primary, but society also sees that. And that's why the laws are the way they are. That's why going to family court is a nightmare for most men. You know, you don't want to walk into that place with a perfectly happy, you know, wife who wants to point her finger at you and say what a terrible human being you've been. And she's lovely and, you know, has all those feminine qualities, that innocence that we all are so attracted to. Well, you know, male judges see that shit too. You know, they go, oh, she's so sweet. That guy's got to be a real asshole, you know. And we men, we just don't give off that innocent energy. You know, so it's very easy for us to be on the short end of the stick. And that's why things have worked out the way they have for such a long time. And that's why men have found themselves, you know, in a position where they have been condemned to care for a woman that they no longer love, you know, that they no longer have a relationship with. And yet financially, they're still responsible for her, perhaps for the rest of her life. This kind of matriarchy, I'll call it, or misandry, that's what it is, that's built into our legal system that favors women, not just in family court, but in, you know, criminal court too. Yeah, if she robs a 7-Eleven, she's getting a completely different, you know, set of penalties than if you rob the 7-Eleven. You walk in with a gun at a 7-Eleven, you're gonna get 10 years, easy. She walks in with a gun at a 7-Eleven, she might get 18 months. I'm not kidding, honest to God. Completely different program, completely different way of looking at the world. They see us as being potentially violent and dangerous, and they see them as misguided. Completely different criteria. So the friend I was talking about, he recently started a business, got lots of money tied up in it. He has investors tied up in it as well. This business is just getting off the ground and it's got lots and lots of potential, but he is the key man in this business. And his efforts are critical to the success of this business. And he has dedicated a lot of time and energy to it. But he has been very careful to make sure that he's giving enough time to his wife. They don't have any children yet, thankfully. So hopefully, you know, this will get resolved one way or the other, and they can move forward in a healthy way. During this time, she decides that she needs to find herself. She needs to come to terms with what's going on in her life. And so he thought this would be a good time for her to get some therapy. Like, that's the way she was going to go. It's going to be an internal journey of understanding who she was and, you know, maybe reading some books, maybe doing some meditation. You know, that's what he was thinking. She was thinking, it's time to go to Florida, maybe do some clubbing, you know, experimenting with drugs and alcohol. Like, maybe that's the way you find yourself, you know? And at the same time, pitching fits when she's at home for him not doing something that she thinks that he needs to do. Arguing with him at almost every turn, creating more and more discord in his life. On some level, I think she's screaming for his attention because he's so dedicated to his business. But on the other level, it's just a lack of understanding of what it takes to keep that roof over her head, and that pays for her trip to Florida and all the drinking she's doing and the vehicles in her driveway and all the other things that she takes for granted. She just has no clue about the amount of sacrifice that he has to make in order to make that happen. Here's the irony though. So it is sacrifice that he's making. You know, he's putting himself under a great deal of stress, and he's putting himself at the center of an endeavor that, if it works out, could be extremely exciting and financially rewarding. But if it fails, he is 100% responsible for it. So he's making commitments, key word there, commitment, to these other investors and these other people who are involved in this business with him. And he's making a promise that he's going to do everything in his power to make this endeavor work. So although he thrives in this environment, he's the kind of guy who thrives in this environment, he, at the same time, understands the risks associated with it. He understands what the potential danger is to him. Now, he doesn't focus on it because you can't do that and be successful, but he knows it's there. So there is not just the pull to go do it because he wants to, but there's also the push to do it well because he has to. And it's a very interesting experience. And I don't think that she has any clue about that, because all she sees is his enthusiasm for what he's doing. You know, he's reading books, he's looking at Tony Robbins, he's doing all these cool things to help him be more and more successful and find new ways to solve the problems of the business and to get more people involved in it and build enthusiasm with his team members, you know, and really create a culture that is going to lead this organization to success. That's his thing. That's who he wants to be. That's the guy he is. And she is a child. She is a child who is petulant and upset and, you know, directionless in her own life. And she's angry that she's not getting more of his time and energy, that he's not conforming to what she wants from him. You know, it's very clear that her understanding of what he's doing is beyond her ability to comprehend. Like, it's just outside of her scope of vision, because all she can see is how this affects her. You know, she doesn't see how what he's doing affects them as a team, as a partnership. And because of her short-sightedness and her need to be self-protective, she is using emotional blackmail with him to try to force him to behave in ways that she wants him to behave. And it's a manipulation. It's sick. It's sick at a very deep level, if it were coming from a man. But when it's coming from a woman, it's just innocent, childlike behavior. I realize I've been rambling on about this, but I'm on like 3 or 4 hours of sleep, so I don't know that my brain is working the way that it normally does today. I guess the point of all this is that it's really important that we, and I alluded to it a moment ago, that we men have this shift and we stop seeing ourselves as these sacrificial, disposable beings that society depends on, and we start reclaiming our sovereignty, and we start saying no to taking on the responsibility of being the primary caretaker and provider for women in our society, that we need to be the primary caretaker and provider for ourselves. If we decide at some point that we want to take on a woman, it should probably be after we have fully established our lives completely. It's firmed up, it's concrete. Like, we have gotten to a place where everything is financially and psychologically, emotionally resolved. We are no longer looking for something to satisfy that need for nurturing or that need to procreate. We're no longer in that frame of mind as we are as a young man. We need to push past that. We need to get to the place where we are no longer looking for a woman to complete us. And we are, in turn, completing ourselves by establishing our lives in real, meaningful ways, by being aggressive out there in the marketplace and not playing softy with the girls. I told a story of one of my videos maybe last year about how I coached soccer, and I had a boys' team. And one day, these boys are all little, like 5 years, 6 years old, had to play a girls' team, and we got our asses kicked. But it wasn't because the boys weren't as good as the girls. It was because the boys were being polite. They were allowing the girls to win. They wanted to win their favor. Even at this young age, these boys wanted to be liked by the girls. Crazy, right? And as I watched that, it just sort of hit me. It was like, oh my God, that's the way the world is. Like, we boys, we men are stepping aside. We're making it easy for them. We're allowing them to come into the male masculine world and to thrive. And we're not treating them like we would treat other men. We're not treating them equally. They wanted equality, and they just took their privileged class and they added all of the benefits of being a man. And now they're still privileged and protected, and they are now operating in our world, and we're all stepping around them like we don't want to hurt their feelings, like we don't want to upset them, we don't want to hold them accountable. And that's a huge, huge mistake. You know, now we've created this whole generation of spoiled brats, you know, that are they're just these grown-up children who are entitled You know, because they're protected, they're privileged, and now they deserve certain things from us. And we need to put a stop to this. Like, this has got to stop now. And the best way to make it stop now is to start playing hard, start playing for real, start playing for keeps. Like, this is cutthroat. You know what I mean? Start treating them the same way you would treat another man and you're in competition with, you know? I mean, men, when we compete, we understand that there is a competition and we will all do what we can to win. That's to be expected. But when it's a woman, well, we play by different rules. And we need to stop that. That's got to stop right away. We need to hold them accountable so that they have to protect and provide for themselves. Because if they're truly going to be our equal partners in this new world that we have created, then they're going to have that skill set. And right now, they're not developing it. Fuck. I know there's a lot of hand-wringing out there about how birth rates are dropping and how this might be the end of society, end of humanity. And I doubt it. I seriously doubt it. Men still want to have sex, and we always will want to have sex. We might be able to control it. We might be able to stop it for a while. But as long as there's at least one man left, I think humanity has a chance. That one guy will screw anybody that he can, and he will spread his seed far and wide, and we will have a resurgence, a renaissance, if you will. But in today's society, with 8+ billion people on this planet, where we're not running out of people anytime soon, and we have gone through this cultural revolution where we have elevated women to the masculine roles in society while continuing to provide them with the protected class that they have been given since the beginning of time, we need to make some changes on the masculine side of the ledger. And that means that we need to start playing the game for real with them. We need to start treating them like men. And we need to start treating ourselves with a lot more respect, reclaiming our sovereignty, and building lives that are powerful and meaningful and useful. And then, once we have done that, if you're age 40, age 50, and you decide that you want to have a family, it's perfectly fine for you to go find some 25-year-old girl and start with her. Because, yeah, she's not at your level, no, but she can definitely provide you with a family, you know, and you can definitely provide her with protection. So just think about that, you know. You want an old-fashioned kind of relationship? I think a lot of these young women, they want that old-fashioned relationship too. They just don't want it with their 30-year-old, you know, companions. You know, they want a man who has established his life. And I know a lot of people would say, well, that's robbing the cradle and all that stuff. You know, I think all the rules are over. Like, the rules have ended. And anything goes these days. So, you know, just because you're going to dedicate your life to building something meaningful for yourself and for your future family today, doesn't mean you need to miss out on that future family. Just because you're getting older. Take care of yourself. You live to be 100, you know. You can still be at your kid's college graduation in your 70s and still be in great shape. But don't sacrifice yourself for a woman. Don't put yourself in that place. Don't be like my friend, you know, up at 2 o'clock in the morning, wondering if, you know, he's made a huge, huge mistake. And looking down the barrel of all the devastation that's going to happen in order for him to untangle his life from this relationship. So many of us have been there, and it is such a dark and difficult journey. And of course, he's right in the middle of building this business, so it's going to be an extraordinary difficult thing for him to do if he goes down that path. And of course, you know, there's just so many relationships that are tied into it. It's just such a shit show. It just is such a shit show. And it was all so avoidable, you know? It was all so avoidable. I knew the minute he married her that it was probably a bad idea. Not because she's a bad person, but because she wasn't mature enough for the responsibility that goes along with being in a partnership like a marriage. I could see that from 10 miles away. She just lacked that. She was very, very immature at a certain level. Kind, sweet, I mean, really innocent, all kinds of great qualities, but just not mature. Anyway, you guys, that's all I got for you today. I certainly hope you enjoyed this video. If you have, please like and subscribe. If you know somebody who is in the midst of one of these nightmares, please share this video with them. Hopefully it'll give them some insight into how they can reclaim their sovereignty and move on with their life in a meaningful way. Anyway, till next time, stay healthy, and if you can, stay single.